Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Stew it.
They said stew it.
Stew it.
Like the food.
It's Stew Wednesday. I don't know.
Oh, that was smooth. That was not smooth.
Do the show.
Do the show. It is time for the State of the WWE Union Address.
Why did you throw in union?
Because it's normally the State of the Union, so I really just
Yeah, but no one called it the State of the WWE Union.
I know, that really kind of actually threw me out.
You're trying to mess up the bit.
I was waiting for it to be the State of the WWE Universe Address. Like, I figured that's what they were going to call it.
Way too many syllables.
WWE Universe in itself is way too many syllables.
I know.
It really bothers me every time somebody in the ring has to talk about it, because it takes like 20 seconds for them to just say WWE Universe.
When all they really had to say is fans.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So.
Still stupid.
First, though, Chris has to tell us about a digital video disc he has seen.
Oh, the digital video disc that I've seen is a, one that is documenting the life and times up to this point of Sir Curtis Michael Punkleton.
Nice. I was gonna go with Charles Matthew, but all right, go on.
I'm not gonna remember. I forgot completely what I said. Okay, Sir Punkletown is that DVD is fantastic. Probably the best. I mean, of course, you know, WWE in their editing, we sing their praises almost on a weekly basis, and, you know, that always tends to carry over with their DVD product. They're always top-notch. And this one, it's hard to describe how much of a step above everything else this is. It feels very intimate, and it feels it feels like a warm hug, and it just makes you just love CM Punk even more, which is really odd why they're releasing it while he's a heel and we're supposed to hate him. Because watching that documentary at the end, I was just like, oh, I want one. I want a punk to hang out with. He seems like an awesome friend.
That's the thing. It's like, I was really curious that, you know, they turned him heel a couple months before his big DVD release happened.
Yeah, and notice, you know, it hardly got mentioned. Really, at all.
He didn't, like, come out to the ring to promote it the way they usually do when that happens.
I haven't really seen any commercials about it either.
Mm-mm. I mean, I've seen a few, but...
Right.
Not, I've seen more for that Will is Scared of His House movie that WWE is doing. The one, the Barricade or Barrage or whatever, Will from Will and Grace is in it, and he's scared of his house.
Oh, okay, alright.
You know what I'm talking about.
I was going to leave you hanging there, but okay.
I got you. I guess we should mention real quick before we get into the fun stuff that Punk hit somebody.
He did, and he kind of hit the wrong guy.
He did hit the wrong guy.
And the internet
flipped out.
Oh, dear Lord. I was 2 hours glued to the internet just because I was waiting to
see. Because that's my standard situation, is being glued to the internet.
Well, yeah. Well, especially when something like this happens, because you always want to see if WWE is going to make a statement, what the general consensus is, if you start getting word from people who were at the event. I did the same thing after the Punk promo last year, you know, just to see if it's real, if it was planted or what. This one was real. Punk, I can't really say I would have done any different in his position. Clearly security was nowhere near him.
Yeah. I mean,
and I feel like
if there is blame to put...
And,
you know maybe don't send your top heel into the crowd. Like, I assume they were trying to, like, kind of recreate the feeling of...
Punk leaving
McMahon. Yeah, Punk running to the crowd from McMahon.
Yeah.
But that was Chicago.
That was Chicago, in a place that adores CM Punk. They were in Sacramento, just the biggest butthole of America. Like, it is crap. Like, so, completely crap.
I don't know how many Sacramento listeners.
Okay. If we have Sacramento listeners, I want you to, you know, inch a little closer to your speakers or turn your volume up.
Your headphones, inch closer.
Yes. I want you to listen to me very closely. If you live in Sacramento, I hate you completely. And I have no reason for it. I just do. Because it feels like it's what's supposed to happen. If you choose to live in a crap hole like Sacramento. Joel?
I would like to formally say that I really like Sacramento. Because...
Well, the rest of America hates you.
In fifth grade, I correctly guessed Sacramento on the geography bee. And that tipped our team over. We got a free pizza party. So, me and Sacramento are forever bros. And they have a newspaper called Sacramento Bee. Yeah, I know that too.
I hate that I know that. Yep. Anyway, moving along.
Here's what I found really interesting about this. More than anything else with the, like, fallout and he's going to lose the belt and apologies and whose fault it is and blah, blah. So, we watched this together.
Yes.
And there was this brief thing where somebody said, hey, I think Punk hit a guy. It was just on Twitter or something.
Right.
And we missed it. In the nth of a second, it was on TV.
I noticed that something was happening. Yeah. Just because when the camera went back to Punk in the crowd, I couldn't spot Punk.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, too busy firing that second shot. And then they cut to Vince's face, who you can clearly see
is watching his fan.
Watching his fans go after one of his top guys that, you know, who he's probably really stuck his neck out for recently.
Yeah, he's really invested in at this point.
Right.
But were this, like, 6-7 years ago,
that would have been it.
We would have, you know, you might have been like, I think Punk might hit a guy. And I'll be like, no.
Well, I don't know, because... But as soon as the internet came around...
Well...
Even stuff that happened back in the day, people were talking like, oh, well, this is what really happened. You know?
Yeah, but, I mean, you might have heard some stuff. And, you know, you might have, on your dial-up modem, actually found, like, one or two people saying, I was in the audience when something happened. But, like, since that happened, I've been able to, like, rewatch that punch... From every conceivable angle, thanks to camera phones.
Yeah.
Like, in slow motion, with, like, color variants to, like, really display, you know, who's who, with John Madden-style NFL, like, drawings on it to indicate what's going on.
That far into watching this stuff.
I mean...
As soon as I saw a convincing angle where I saw, like, it was definitely fans provoking him.
I mean, I was just like... This is crazy.
Yeah.
So.
So is that what your rant is about? That technology is advanced and crazy and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Good point.
I don't have a solid opinion on it. This is neither a yay or nay. Just, you know, amusing. I do feel bad for the guy that got hit.
Right. Because but then again, he was crowding Punk anyway. Like, he was pretty much on top of him.
I mean...
Close enough to where, like, every other angle looked like his elbow hit Punk's head.
Yeah.
Until that final angle that I saw where we
saw the other guy.
We clearly saw the other guy. But until then, I thought the dude might have, like, got his elbow accidentally pushed into him. And then, you know, with Punk not, you know, facing the other way, he just went for who was ever directly behind him.
Yeah.
You know, and...
I mean, I've gone through plenty of thoughts of, like, you know, they say, you know, don't touch the wrestlers.
Right.
But if Punk ran by me, I would probably try and, you know...
One thing, because you saw a bunch of people do that when he was walking up, you know, and a bunch of people did that when he did in Chicago.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
No, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I would probably crowd Punk, like, even if they told me not to, so...
But these guys were, like, getting in the way of the camera to be like, hey, look at me, kind of thing. You know, and then we got kids shoving him. Like, the first person to make contact, like, violent contact him was a kid just shoving him. You know, and even then, like, Punk just kind of shot him a glare, and I think he might have said something, and then he went right back, and then... That's when, like, all the really big shoving and all that stuff happened.
I mean, I don't really, you know, I don't think anything terrible is going to happen.
I don't think anything else is going to come out of it.
The guy will probably get something.
The guy said he was initially going to file charges through the local police. Since then, I believe TMZ said that no further action is going to be taken. Now WWE, you know, it took them forever to come out with a statement. They finally did late yesterday, and they basically said that they regret that. It's almost as if they were taking the heat for it. Like, you know, our security wasn't in place. You know, we regret that Punk was in that position. And then they had a short statement on Punk where Punk, you know, regretted reacting that way. But like I said, like, I can't tell you that I would have done anything different.
Yep.
Because when you're in a situation like that, you've got to do something about it. Especially Punk, the way he is, he's not going to let anyone take a free shot at him.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you hit him, you better be... like, I saw this a lot on the internet because people were bringing it up. That True TV thing about the Ring of Honor security guard guy.
Right.
And there was some rowdy fans who took offense at something that Austin Aries had done. And then after the show, they decided that they were going to wait around. They tried to leave him, but then the guys came after Austin Aries, and one of them actually got a shot in. And Austin Aries leveled the dude. Like, completely. The dude's reaction was fantastic, because he was like, oh, my jaw. Oh, he got me good. Yeah, he got me good. Yeah, all right. And I mean, you know, granted, you know, this is a bit, it's a step up from Ring of Honor, and, you know, fans usually don't get that close to him.
Yeah, I mean, but it's, that, I mean, it's your textbook difference between wrestling is fake and then wrestling is staged, like.
Right, I mean, you're still dealing with big guys.
Yeah, these guys have muscles.
Punk, you know, Punk isn't a muscular kind of wrestler, but he still works out probably more than any of us would ever do, so. Yeah. I believe nothing else really is going to come out of it. It looks like everyone's just going to move on, including the kid that got punched, except for the dude that snuck in and threw that push to the head. That dude has just been a loudmouth. Like, that guy's all over Twitter just bragging about it.
I do have to say this. The next time they're in Sacramento, they're going to be it's going to be SmackDown, and pre-sale code for that is SmackFan.
Yeah. Was that in Sacramento? I thought it was just the next SmackDown.
It's the next time they're in Sacramento.
Wow. So. That is timing right there.
Yeah. But let's get on to the other 2 hours and 59 minutes and 58 seconds of show.
If we must.
John Cena came back. Which...
Woo.
Like, I understand, like, John Cena is gone for his first time in 3 years, 3+ years.
Right.
And your ratings tank. Get that guy back in the ring. No matter what.
Right. I don't know. It's just... I understand, like, they need to start building up things between him and Punk this close to Hell in a Cell.
I would like to see Punk and Ryback, I've decided.
You know what? I am too. So I think it would be interesting. It would be interesting to see.
It's a match I would be interested in.
Because I feel like there's a reason why we haven't actually got a physical altercation between the two.
Yeah.
You know, all we got was Ryback putting him up on his shoulders, and that was literally it before he ran away.
Yeah.
I would really kind of like to see them in a match. Might be a little too soon for Ryback, but, I mean, why not?
I mean, you know, to be fair, we've been seeing Ryback since NXT Season 1.
Yeah,
he's just done fancy squash matches for a long period now, but...
They're really that fancy?
Glorified squash matches. But if you'll, like, harken back to the Nexus versus Team WWE in SummerSlam, Sheffield carried Nexus pretty much for a good long period of that match.
Yeah, he was a beast. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying he's not anymore, it's just... I don't know, it seems kind of soon for that character to be in this situation. But, I mean, again, like we said a couple weeks ago when we were trying to figure out who else, I guess really there really isn't anyone else for this situation.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and, I mean, I don't need Cena and Punk again right away. Like, I'd be happy for it. I think they'd put on a great match.
I feel like they're probably going to wait till Survivor Series.
I would like Survivor Series.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that there might not be a Brock at Survivor Series because we haven't heard anything.
No, I think they're saving him up for WrestleMania.
Saving up for pre-appearances before WrestleMania. Yeah. So, I mean, I assumed he was just going to hit the big four, but, you know. But right. One thing, you already have Rock and the Rumble at the Rumble, so I don't think he's going to.
Right, and, you know, Rumble's right really around the corner from Survivor Series, so he doesn't really need to hit up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have this big, you know, deal about SummerSlam. I feel like anything more than that really would be too much.
Yeah. Oh, I should also point out, I think I pointed this out to you when we were watching it. This is the second week in a row that CM Punk has been talking crap about Stone Cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to... I'm trying really hard not to read into things.
Because you're trying really hard not to be like the wrestling internet.
Yes.
Who's reading way too much into it.
But...
way too soon. Yeah. It's one of those things that, by now, I don't want to get too excited about any of these things. Because, I mean, why... why do it at this point?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Is like, WrestleMania is going to be packed this year. Yeah, because you know The Rock's going to be there. You know Brock's going to be there. The Undertaker's got his, you know, straight match.
Right.
And you have two main event championship belts, which theoretically should be important, but, you know, who knows?
Usually isn't.
But the, you know,
at least the heavyweight.
All things considered, like, I would save Stone Cold and CM Punk till next year, next WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, if Stone Cold's ready and free...
might as well, you know, there's no better time than the present, really.
Yeah, they don't, you know, they don't really save stuff for stuff in WWE. They have a plan, they have an idea.
They go for it.
It happens.
The only other time that they didn't, or the only other time that they saved something was... really, Cole and Lawler and Rock and Cena.
Yeah. And one of those had great build-up to a terrible match, and one of those had...
terrible build-up
to
an okay match, yeah.
To a match that would have been great if it didn't have to follow
Punk
the Hell in a Cell and then Punk and Jericho.
Yeah, that's...
So, it's... I mean, it had to go on less because it had a year build-up, but... It then had to. I think that's why the music things are there to just try and space it out.
Oh, like, so
you're not jamming that level
so
of wrestling.
So we forget about the awesome CM Punk and Chris Jericho match. And instead, we're filled with with MGK and just, Florida.
At least it's not music. I'm cheering because it's not music.
All right, then we get a the Brodus Clay thing. Before that, too?
What? Oh! I'm flailing around in confusion.
I mean, I think we got that before that, too. I don't remember.
Before what?
Before Brock and Cena.
Oh, did we?
Was it with
the Million Mom Dance or whatever?
Yeah, the Million Mom Dance, then the music.
It might have been. I thought we were back to Raw and Brutus's segment.
Oh,
Raw this week.
Oh, that's what you're flailing about.
Yes.
Okay.
And it deserves a flail.
To be dancing just for the sake of dance.
Dance just for the sake of dance. Okay, you have one guy whose gimmick is that he dances. You have another guy whose gimmick used to be that he danced. So, you know, he still, like, dances a large part of his character. Then you have two girls who really do most of the dancing for the first guy.
Yeah.
But a lot of dancing. And they all stop to watch the invisible character dance. What?! What?
You're getting really loud.
I'm very distraught that happened.
Obviously.
Beyond the fact that I, as always, have to mention that R-Truth needs to be a heel.
Yes.
This was...
and for some reason, I thought that was going to happen. Like, I had a split second where I thought, it's like, are they turning someone heel? Because why is it turning...
well,
Brodus Clay originally supposed to be facing each other.
It would seem that Kofi and Truth have broken up.
Well, yeah. They talked about that on WWE.com, that they're just kind of going their own way.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hoping that. But really all it was a setup to Vince McMahon announcing that he's doing his thing next. He's
walking it, yeah.
Which wasn't even at, like, an hour mark.
It was like at 8:30.
Yeah, which seems odd.
It does seem odd.
Ratings-wise.
But I guess the normal stuff isn't working. They're just trying everything new.
You'd figure they would start the show off with that. But no, wait, they started off with Cena. Never mind.
You gotta have Cena. Ratings are down. Bring Cena back is the attitude. With whatever weirdest like, looking cast thing I've ever seen.
It's kind of like a brace thing. I've seen it before.
It's kind of like a Jeff Hardy tattoo.
Kind of.
That's the best way to describe it, I feel.
First time I ever saw one was, and you're going to probably go, well, no, you like Olympics.
I like the Olympics.
Not this past Olympics, but the one before that, the U.S. Beach volleyball team. Those two chicks. One of them had one on her shoulder.
Yeah.
And it was really just kind of like a brace. A more flexible brace.
I honestly thought it was like electric tape or something.
No. It was like a brace.
Yeah. Yeah, so Vince comes down.
A side note. Apparently, Vince is really wanting to shake things up behind the scenes.
Yeah, so I've heard.
The head writer got fired just before Raw. And now the report is it's because, one of the top guys kind of got in Vince's face about it.
Yeah, about he's out of touch.
He's out of touch and everything. And it's one of those things where you hear that and you automatically start thinking about, who would have said that? And I was like, really? You're wondering who would have gotten Vince's face and told them that he's getting out of touch. You really have to think about who would have the balls to say that on this current roster. On this current roster.
You're like, well, I know who that was.
Of people who aren't afraid to speak their mind in the face of authority.
Thanks. Thanks for anonymity, internet. You're like, a top guy. Whoever that might be, I don't know. I would love for it to be like Triple H.
No, I would love for it to be like Kurt Hawkins or Zack Ryder.
I don't think that counts as top guy.
Yeah, true.
So,
well, you know, Zack Ryder's close. Well, no.
Zack Ryder is like just barely.
Well, it would be fantastic if it was like Kofi.
It would be fantastic if it was Kofi, and Kofi's gonna get a little Miz push, I think,
for the Intercontinental belt. But you know how many times Kofi's gone for that belt?
Yeah, but they're gonna do good together, I think. I mean,
I'm pretty sure we've seen that already with them.
Kofi and Miz?
Yeah.
For the Intercontinental belt?
I don't know for the Intercontinental belt, but I don't know.
I mean, Miz is a guy who, like, when he's on, he's easily main event material. And I'm hoping that... And he hasn't had really a good feud since he came back.
No, not really. And they wanted to do something with Ryback, but then they put Ryback in the main story.
So I think Kofi can get a good feud out of Kofi.
Yeah, sure.
So
I'm ready for them to do something with Kofi. Like they it seems like they're just putting him in whatever predicament just because they don't really have anywhere else to put him, but they want to put him out because the fans love him.
Yeah,
you know it's. He, I feel like he's better than that. I feel like he can work a solid program with someone if given the right opportunity. And I don't feel like they've given him that opportunity.
I don't think so either.
Almost. That we all go back to that one almost feud between him and Randy Orton.
Yep.
Like a couple years ago. But that's really all I can think of.
I really want him to win Money in the Bank this next year. That would be cool. And that'd be a good kind of like thank you for all he's done for the Money in the Bank match.
In such a short period of time, really, yeah. Too.
So.
You forget that he really hasn't.
It's amazing how short of a time he has been in the company.
Only 4 years.
So, it feels like he's on the second half of his career.
Yeah.
But, you know. Carrying onward, the tag team stuff happened. Road Scholars.
Well, yeah, but I know that we're not gonna talk about them yet.
Do you have anything to say about the other tag team match?
Sin Cara, Rey Mysterio against the Primetime Players?
Yeah.
Nope.
Mm-mm. No. No, you don't.
Then we got Sheamus and Wade Barrett. Solid match.
Yeah.
It went a little long, only to be interrupted by Tensai.
Yeah, that was actually a little weird that it was Tensai coming out, but because 10 seconds in, Big Show comes to sit ringside, you know this isn't going to end in a clean pin. So, you nexused it. Or you just, you know, you're waiting for the interruption to come.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I think I'm just burned out on Sheamus.
Pretty sure I've been saying that for a while.
I know, like, but I was hoping it was just the Sheamus Del Rio combination that I was tired of.
Is there even a story between Sheamus and Big Show?
Not. It was insta-feuded last week. Like,
okay. You know. I was like, because I don't know if I just fell asleep for an entire week or something, but it just seems like this happened out of nowhere. We had a little debate thing, but
I mean, at least they're honoring the no more than three kind of rule of thumb for feuds. They only get three pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Sheamus, you know, I really think the character needs to get broken down and built back up again. Because I do think he's good. I think he's talented. But he's John Cena now.
Yeah.
He's, you know, mugging to the crowd, making silly jokes. And then, you know, but sometimes he has to be serious. And so, I don't think it works for him.
No, I don't think anything works for him.
All right, here's your challenge then.
Okay.
You have to use Sheamus, make a character that really would work for him. That you would be interested in seeing.
Okay.
In the main event, because obviously they want him to be a main event guy, so you can't make him the lipshits comedy relief.
Okay. All right. I'm put him up against Tyson Kidd. Okay. So imagine that they push Tyson Kidd all the way up to the front.
Okay.
As a heel or face, I don't really care. And then Sheamus comes out to a new character called a limp dead body in the middle of the ring. And then they ring the bell.
According to the rule, Sheamus has to win. So you are putting limp dead body over Tyson Kidd here.
Alright, well, we think rethink that character. Or rethink the his opponent.
It's supposed to be somebody you'd like to see. Sheamus has limp dead body beating somebody. Something you would be excited to see. You'd be pleased that WWE put this in front of you. You would say, well done, WWE. Here is my hard-earned money for your pay-per-view.
Drew McIntyre in a dress. Beaten by Sheamus's cohorts, Tyson Kidd, and
And then Tyson Kidd just gives the belt to Sheamus. You're like, here you go, well done.
And he hands it to him as if he's standing there, and then he just lets go and drops and falls.
Because he's still in the dead body?
No, better yet, we can just do a whole Weekend at Bernie's thing.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Weekend at Sheamus.
Weekend at Bernie's and Sheamus, I accept.
All right, yeah, Weekend at Bernie's featuring Sheamus. How about we go with that storyline?
That would actually be kind of fantastic.
I told you, I had to work it around in my brain for a little bit. I had to dip it in my brain and shovel around.
You got to make his buddies like Zack Ryder and Santino, but
no. Zack Ryder, I'm okay with no Santino.
You are never gonna do a Weekend at Bernie's thing without Santino in it.
He can be in it, but I don't want him to be the main guy.
He's gonna be one of the buddies.
No,
Ryder. This is what
you know. I would be okay with Hawkins and Ryder reteaming up and put them two. They're fantastic together. I thought.
Here's the story. They will find something wrong with Sheamus, but they will find his will where like his dream was to be champion, and so they'll Weekend at Bernie's him to championship.
Scratch. Ryder being one of the buddies. Sheamus as Bernie, then the two friends, Kane and Daniel Bryan. How perfect is that?
Well done.
There you go. I just perfected wrestling, people, right here on our podcast. I worked this entire thing out.
Your downfall is the Team Friendship is not doing their own thing. You put Sheamus into Team Friendship.
No, they can still have the belt, but then they, like, enlist. Maybe they, Maybe they're, like, arguing backstage and accidentally do something to Sheamus and make him, like, you know, die. And act like no one
saw. With the, you know, gun.
You know, with the, you know, with the knife. Or, like, a lead pipe. Or they
and just going through the Clue murder weapons?
Or, like, or Daniel Bryan just pushes Kane and his gigantic body just smushes him. I don't know. Maybe not kill him, but maybe put him in like a coma or
yeah,
something.
No, for what? I mean, they could do it for one episode of Raw or SmackDown where like Sheamus is unconscious and they don't want to get in trouble with
the higher ups. They think no one saw it and they don't want to, you know, ruin this, you know, their run with this guy that they want to be a top star.
Yeah.
So they go around, they do the whole, like, I get, well, what was it? Was it Witch Spell or something?
That was Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Oh, that was Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Why are you referencing Weekend at Bernie's 2?
It all melts together.
The worst of the Weekend at Bernie's franchise. The downfall of the saga that was Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah, so we get Bernie's too.
I mean, eventually they would have to do something so they don't have to, like, move him. And, like, they could,
They need to have, like, sticks or strings and stuff and, like, just be in his corner and, like, poke him so he's falling around. You would be burying whoever he's up against. To lose to Sheamus'
coma
body.
They'll be facing Kurt Hawkins, Jinder Mahal, the whole airband people, yeah.
Heath Slater, Drew McIntyre.
Have them like a Goldberg run. Just beating everyone.
No, this will only work once.
And then it's like, all right, well, how about we put them in a cage match? And then Daniel Bryan and Kane are just like, oh, our one weakness.
All right.
Elimination Chamber. Oh, oh God! How about Kane? You start with
no. That's what that would actually actually give them an excuse to be in the ring with him. Because otherwise, yeah, they will have to like stand in his corner, like go, dead body of Sheamus, go.
Not dead, comatose.
Coma body of Sheamus,
and then like he wakes up and he's. Has no idea why he's WWE champion.
And like all the, he's like Triple H number of belts hanging off of him. He's like, what is this?
Why am I always wearing sunglasses?
Yeah. I was looking for something serious from you, but I accept Weekend at Bernie's.
Knocking it out the park, Christo. All
right.
Yeah. Oh God, we have to go back to the show now.
I honestly, I just want to skip all the way to the end because I have nothing to say. Like,
I don't have anything to say about Team Hell No.
Team Friendship.
Sorry, it was on the screen as Team.
Team Friendship.
Team, you know what?
Well, that's the thing. Is like some stuff happened with the Divas. Larry King said some stuff. Skeletor joke made me laugh.
Miz knocked it out of the park with that.
Yes.
Larry King and his wife of the week was just horrible.
Well done.
Miz.
I'm telling you, when Miz is on, Miz should always have a mic in his hand.
Fair enough.
So, but I gotta talk about this main event, which is CM Punk and Vince McMahon.
Yes.
And this is a match I didn't really like watching. I was a lot of like, But later in the evening, as I thought about it, I loved this main event.
After you watched it?
It was fantastic.
After you watched
it? In retrospect, it was fantastic.
But you hated it when you actually watched it.
Yes. Everything I watched, I was like, no, I don't buy this. This is, no. This was fantastic.
Explain yourself.
It was genuinely entertaining. It was like Attitude Era main events that were just like out of control, random stuff happening.
Right.
And just you're like, what's gonna happen?
Just like that?
Yeah, that's the noise you make when you're six and watching Attitude Era TV.
Oh yeah, you were six. Youngin'. Alright, anyway. I thought it was interesting. Like, it was better than what I was thinking.
I mean, the thing is, like, I will say, I always, you know, Vince is a heel in my heart. I care not for Vince, But
because that was something you said a lot that night, was that you really miss heel Vince.
I miss heel Vince.
He was just, him being nice just didn't feel kosher.
I mean, it's got to be a thing where he has to be on TV frequently enough. Because if he leaves for any period of time, like him and Chris Jericho get cheers after they have left for a while.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and I'm assuming he's not going to be there for very long. So right now we're just, you know, soaking in the cheers. But the guy, like, really threw himself into this match wholeheartedly.
A lot more than I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that they brought up the Jerry Lawler thing.
Yeah, so apparently it's been long enough. All right.
But I mean, like, they didn't, like, joke about it. Like, well, like, Jim Ross went and was, you know, expressing concern. Be like, you know, we just had this thing with Jerry Lawler in a match against CM Punk.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes later, he had a heart attack, you know. So, I mean, it's not like they were poking fun at it.
I mean, I don't think they will for a long time.
Oh, yeah, no. So, for now, I'm pretty sure they'll just make more cerebral palsy jokes.
But it's... way to aim for the middle.
I mean, how awkward was that first conversation that JR had with Vince after Vince made the cerebral palsy joke last time he was on WWE television?
Way to.
And then, of course, they have a segment together backstage.
Way to.
Where,
just,
you know,
barely.
Where Jim Ross just calls barely. Him, you know, oh, we're friends. You sure about that?
He wasn't watching last time. Yeah. But I like the kendo stick duel. That was entertaining.
I was wanting more of a sword fight.
I would have taken a sword fight to be later gift on the internet as lightsabers.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. That's a missed opportunity right there.
Yep. The what a maneuver from Punk, though.
That was fantastic.
Probably the highlight of the match.
No. The slip and slide.
The slip and slide was pretty good. The slip and slide announced table.
He looked like a baby panda. Not a baby panda, a baby polar bear. Sliding across the ice.
Yeah.
On to devour a fishy.
Vince bled. Like.
Yeah. From the ear, from the eye.
Yeah. Like, oh.
He really threw himself into this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's Vince. I mean, that's kind of what he does.
So. Vince.
I still wonder if, you know, Punk is going to pay his fine.
No, that was what we were like, oh, who's getting fined? I don't know. Who's going to get fined? But, yeah, that's the thing is, like, you know, I'm sitting there and, like, Punk would not be scared of Vince, blah, blah, blah. But Vince is insane.
Vince, like, really is insane. Like, he has no athletic ability, but he makes up for it in insanity.
Yeah.
Just willing to do anything.
Yeah. So, you know, as much as, like, Punk is going to destroy Vince, like,
Vince is crazy.
Vince's craziness gives him the fighting edge, I think.
And we saw a little bit of that.
Yeah.
A little bit of the slip and slide, too. But.
Yeah. That's the thing. Is like,
I gotta find a gift
for I have the McMahon DVD set, and, like, the you know, the thing for Vince.
Oh, I might have to borrow that from you.
And it has all his matches, and, like,
you know, God.
And the first match is, like, just him and Stone Cold on Raw.
Okay.
And it's like, But, like, as it progresses chronologically,
it gets a little bit crazier.
You're like, Vince is doing what?
Like, the one time he took Shawn Michaels and God arm on the DVD?
I don't think that's on the DVD. The one that I really remember, though, is Vince and Hogan. At WrestleMania.
That one was tall.
And there's just, like, this one moment where, like, Vince peeks over the lip of the ring and he has blood on his face. I was like, Vince is crazy.
Like, the same, it's almost like the same moment that that Randy Orton and Christian fight, where Orton, like, peeked. He was doing his like, little push-up thing before he... When he sets up the arcade.
Yeah, his broadcasting.
And it just happened that there were stairs in the ring, so all you saw was him peeking out from behind the...
You just be like, soon.
Like, we called it the Randy Orton rape face because,
yeah.
Dear Lord, that made me want to take a shower.
Yeah.
It made me feel dirty.
It was like that, but with Vince and blood. And crazy Vince eyes. Vince does the crazy eye.
He's fantastic at the crazy
eye. Oh, man. So, yeah, I would like some more Vince in the ring, please.
Yeah, and I like how, like, whenever they need a ratings boost, they always dip into the Vince McMahon. That,
yeah.
Because apparently that works.
Yeah, it works for me. That's something. Like,
I still, oh god, I can't get the image of him out of my head, of him riding around in Laurinaitis' scooter.
Well, Vince, sir.
Alright.
Here's your question. You ready for your question?
Alright, let's do it.
Assuming...
No.
Assuming...
Yes.
You were the gentleman who was hit by Punk.
Okay.
You didn't do anything, theoretically. Somebody beside you was messing with Punk.
Okay.
You got hit with Punk. Clearly, like, you know, you have this lawyer up option that WWE would like you to not exercise. So they're offering you, you know, like... What would you like? What would you like from them?
Tickets and accommodations for WrestleMania. Just
yeah.
The next WrestleMania.
Next WrestleMania.
And CM Punk gets to sign my bruise.
I would take CM Punk gets to sign my bruise. That's...
I mean, yeah, I would be pissed that I got hit for something I didn't do.
Yeah.
But I took a shot from CM Punk. Like, that is a bar story.
Yeah.
So that is a story that you can probably get laid with.
See this bruise? WWE champion.
Yeah.
Hit
like,
me here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Took a shot to the face.
Yeah.
And you know what? Only cried a little bit.
I do like that there was a video circulating to the guy. Like, some, you know, somebody was interviewing the guy.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, he broke my glasses. And I was like, they did. They just definitely broke glasses. I would like, I think, because I was thinking about, you know, what the guy could get, and I was like, you know, obviously he's going to get some sort of, like, swag t-shirt and, you know, buttons.
I wonder if he wanted a CM Punk DVD.
Probably some signed pictures, maybe, you know, a handshake. Maybe if he's really lucky, like, afternoon with CM Punk or something.
And Punk's just like... Just give him that, like, sitting at dinner and just give him the angry eye at the kid. And be like, hey, you want another punch?
I would really like to play video games with Punk. I'd really like to play WWE 13 with Punk. Like, you don't get to be Punk.
Really? You would play WWE 13? I would play something completely different. Like, I would play...
No, I would play...
I would play Left 4 Dead with Punk.
I would love to play that, but I would love to play WWE 13, but Punk has to be Kelly Kelly. And I get to be CM Punk.
I'm like, nope!
That's the rules.
It's like, it sounds like the proposed idea from Space Jam, where they use Michael Jordan as a tourist attraction, and the kids get to beat him every day.
Yep. I want CM Punk. Why hit yourself? So, yeah. But the thing I think I would really do, like the thing I would ask for, if I had them right there, where like I had the suing option, I would be like, I want to know what the storyline is next 6 months. I won't put it on the internet. I'll tell my friends. But
and
like,
CM Punk will look at you and be like, hell if I know.
I know.
They don't tell me that, John. You think they planned this?
No, I don't even remember CM Punk. I need it for, like, I need to talk to, like, the head.
Okay.
And talk to guys like, what's going on? I want to know who currently is going to, you know, who's going to be in Street Match. Your current plan for the Street Match, your current plan for The Rock. Up to wrestle from now to wrestle.
Only an internet nerd would want that.
That's what I want. Well, I can get the t-shirts and the, you know, other stuff.
Yeah, but this, I mean, everyone's going to find out months later.
I know.
So what are you going to say then? Like, oh, I knew this way before. Then you just sound like an internet hipster. No one likes that.
But I could have the t-shirt in months. Like, I could do all that and then buy a t-shirt. And then I have the t-shirt that I was going to get anyway, plus the thing. I mean, I'd take the afternoon Punk over everything, but... You know, but over like a couple of DVDs and toys.
Honestly, I would take the all expense WrestleMania trip.
All the expense. That's a good one. I hadn't thought of that one, but
yeah,
that is a good one. That's. I wonder how much money that would put them out though.
At least in the thousands, I think. Because I'm thinking back of like the prizes from like the Shawn Michaels charity and the Mick Foley charity.
Yeah,
it was roughly over 1,000.
I mean. They had the breakfast. I wouldn't need the breakfast. I mean, I like breakfast, but like...
The what?
The breakfast.
the breakfast.
Yeah, like you got to eat breakfast with...
You said the breakfast.
The breakfast.
I was like, is that a special thing that WWE does? The breakfast? Is it a breakfast?
Yeah, you have to karate chop toast. They just give you a loaf that you must tear into toast-sized pieces.
And Paul Heyman comes out and be like, "Brack!"
Yes, exactly. Oh, nope. New thing that I want. Paul Heyman narrating my breakfast.
Or Paul Heyman cereal for breakfast.
Or ice cream bars. To be able to be like, I'm the guy that finally got the ice cream bar thing rolling.
Oh, yeah. The internet would knight you.
Yes, no. I would be a pillar above all others. So, yeah, I would accept that one, too. Alright, I think that does it for me this week.
I'm good, yeah.
Alright, always remember, you can follow us on Twitter, @CRAttire, where every Monday we will be having the most informative discussions of Raw. Very intellectual.
With Weekend and Bernie.
Yes, with the Weekends at Bernie.
If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up the show, hate mail, love mail, whatever you want to send us, you can send them to classyringattire@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr, classyringattire.tumblr.com, where you can find old episodes of this podcast as well as other wrestling shenanigans.
If you're listening to this at wrestling.insidebolts.com, send us a comment in there. We'd love to hear from you.
And we are on iTunes, so check us out there. Subscribe. You'll get the iTunes benefits with the stuff coming to you automatically. Plus, you can review us, which would be cool. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.